All right, this is the Liberal Gladiator, and you know, with Katie and Kay, obviously. I just want to say Katie and Kay is underwritten by CORE. Did you know heating accounts for half of a home's energy consumption? The town of Carbondale is partnering with CORE and Clear to help you lower your utility bills by providing rebates on energy-saving smart thermostats to residents of Carbondale. Learn more by calling 925-9775. And the weight off your shoulders is starting right now. Without Rocky, but we love Rocky anyway. In my studio, I have Steve Reynolds, and he is the new, the new owner of an old name, the gym. So he's actually bringing that back to life, and it's in the same space that it was in 10 years ago. And so Steve Reynolds is here in my studio, and we're going to go over some stuff regarding fitness. And Steve, I just want to ask you briefly, about some of your fitness bio.
Well, we have like 100 years of bio here. Not quite. But I started being involved in the fitness hobby, I guess, when I was 7 years old. I had been born with some kind of issues and a skinny kid that was getting picked on by other kids at school. I decided to ask Santa Claus for a weight set, and that kind of helped me. And then as I grew up, I was more athletic, became really involved in working out as it pertained to training for sports, and played football and ran track at the NCAA level. And then after I got out of school, went into business, did that for about 10 years, but then always kind of fell back and always had that fitness and wellness background as part of my lifestyle and my everyday living.
All right, cool. And so then you got into the business world, which was probably not related to the track and spikes and football pads.
That's right.
And so you transitioned into that. Now, was there some particular thing that happened, an epiphany that said, yeah, get me the heck out of here?
Well, yeah, there was, I was working for medium to large size corporations, and I just got kind of frustrated with the ethics or lack thereof of the way that the corporate America was working. And I was kind of putting my name on it, I felt, and I didn't like that. So part of my job description was I was a turnaround specialist. We would buy manufacturing companies that were losing money. I would go in and turn them around, make them profitable. And I decided I could do that for my own company. And when I started talking to some folks about the idea, they said, well, what kind of business would you want to do? And I said, well, I've always been into working out. That's really my passion. And so in 1991, I actually moved to Colorado and bought the gym at the Hotel Colorado. And I owned that for about 25 years. And then about 5 years after that, I guess not quite, I ended up opening the gym in Basalt, which I sold 10 years afterwards, and then have repurchased recently, like you were talking about.
All right, cool. So here we are, 2017 starting off, and you've been around fitness for, well, I hate to tell everyone, but a few decades. Well, so it was me too. So, all right. So we've seen a few decades fly. We've seen some crazy stuff come into the fitness world, and thank goodness for fitness, it left.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you, what are some of the things in the past that you thought were really good that you think should come back?
You know, I think that you bring up a really good point is there's always new trends in fitness, and there's always going to be. And I think it's a large part because people are looking for an easier way to get in shape or stay healthy. And it's fun that we look at a lot of the new ideas and the new names of things, and you can go back to the old Encyclopedia of Weightlifting by Arnold, and they called it different things back then, but it's the same stuff. And, you know, really one of my favorite sayings when people ask me what's the best piece of equipment in the gym, I always say it's the front door, because almost everybody that walks through that and uses that piece of equipment gets results, and pretty much everybody that doesn't get results. And I think that what we try to do is to encourage people to find their passion, what they like to do, and do a lot of what they like, and then do a little bit of what they need but don't especially like as well. And, you know, as a trainer, that's one of the things we try to do. If a person really likes weightlifting and doesn't like doing cardio very much, you know, we want to get their cardiovascular workout in as well. But there's tricky ways we can do that, even in the weight room. And they like doing that. That's what they want to do. I think we want to encourage people to do what they're most comfortable with and what they enjoy doing. A lot of people around here really like being outdoors. They like skiing. They like mountain biking. And they don't want to be stuck in a gym. And we want them to get all their workouts they want and can outdoors, doing it in the environment they like. But we want to help them to balance that into a whole fitness and wellness program and make sure that they're doing it right. There's still benefits that people can get from talking to a trainer, going to some classes, spending a little bit of time in a weight room or in a stretching yoga studio. And, you know, it's but they're getting the bulk of their exercise the way they enjoy it.
Okay, cool. And so I know, I mean, obviously one of the things that you've probably seen, you know, come into the gyms recently are kettlebells, and going back to this revisiting things that are really quite ancient. But when you go back to the strongman days where people were picking up, you know, steam engine locomotive wheels, and hey, wow, look at this. You know, I can pick up an entire locomotive wheel. It weighs half a ton. What can you do? And, you know, and then alongside you see the 200-pound kettlebells or something.
Right.
And so that is, you know, I mean, are you using this ancient piece of equipment in any of your workouts for your clients? I mean, they go back at least a couple hundred years.
Absolutely. And, you know, really the different modes of exercise that we select are really what people enjoy, what they like, and what they are comfortable with. The kettlebells are great. You can, you can get some ballistic or some explosive kind of workouts with them. You can also use them just like a dumbbell. You can, you know, they're just providing resistance. As we develop programs for folks, we want to make sure that we're having them contract their muscles and breaking down those muscle fibers. We're having them doing multiple reps, and you know, I don't think we have any 200-pound kettlebells at the gym.
No, I think there's a 100-pounder though.
Yeah, and yeah.
But in those old photos, you look
absolutely
at the guy with the handlebar mustache and
yep.
Yeah, and I'm like, good Lord. I guess they did have some strong people back then, and I was
absolutely
in the circus. It was pre-steroid people.
Right, exactly. They were doing it on their own.
Yep.
Yeah, that, you know, really, one of the things that I personally am an old school guy, and it's so important when people hear all the advertisements, especially this time of year. You know, there's a big industry for people trying to capitalize on the New Year's resolution thing. It really is. That's not something that we really cater to. We want to help people get into a program that they can maintain year round, and we want to encourage them to do that. We want to make sure that if they're but whatever mode of exercise they use, they can. You know, you can use body weight exercises. You can use barbells. A lot of people don't like the free weights, so we have machines for those folks. One of the things that I personally like a lot are the bands, the rubber bands. You can isolate particular muscle fibers with those, and that's, you know, it's really beneficial. As long as you're contracting those muscles against resistance, doing it enough times, wearing out the muscle fibers, you're going to get results.
I do remember you asking me if I'm using bands, and I said, no, not right now, not yet, but at some point in time, I probably will be. Is that because I am aware that those are can be very rehabilitative and very gentle. There's no sharp impacts or sudden loading that occurs.
Absolutely.
And so that's a really good point. So if someone's going through the ages, you know, decades of life,
right,
and they're in, say, significantly not, say, maybe where you and I are,
right,
fitness wise, that might be a really good modality to use to get someone introduced to resistance exercise.
Absolutely. You know, you bring up another point, and that is our age, and you and I we're up there,
and we hate to admit it,
but you know, we're able to stay healthy and active, and some of our goals are a little bit different. We're not lifting the 200-pound kettlebell, but maybe we're lifting the 100-pound kettlebell for 15 or 20 repetitions, and we've got to be smart with that. And certainly as our population is aging, the baby boomers are wanting to stay active. We want to make sure that they're staying active in a and really making themselves better, not hurting themselves by exercising improperly.
Okay, now, what do you see? I mean, the kettlebells and the bands are, you know, extremely different from each other, but they do have some something in common, that there's no impact. Now, what do you see in terms of the, you know, some future trends, you know, concerning things that have impact or plyometric or ballistic types of movements versus non-impact types of exercises, or just, I mean, just a general trends that you see occurring in fitness now? What kind of vision do you see in the fitness world, say, in 5 years, 10 years, when we'll be even we'll have taken more trips around the sun, but we won't be older. We declare right now we're not aging.
That's right. You know, I tell you, one of the things that has been so interesting to watch is as our generation, you know, 50-year-olds and baby boomers are starting to age, and we've been active our whole lives, where a lot of the things that we've done have created issues in our bodies and the way that our muscles recruit and different movement patterns. And so, you know, the most important thing, you talk about the plyometric type of training, it needs to be appropriate for the individual. And a lot of people who are in their 50s and even 60s are very, very okay with that if they do it properly and at the level that their body's ready for. There are also people out there that are 20 and 25 years old who they're not ready for that. So I think it's important that the people are exercising using the equipment and the modes of the modalities of exercise that are appropriate for their body, so that they actually make themselves better, not worse. And for people who have, let's say, pushed the limit a little bit more than they should have over the years, there's a huge need for corrective exercises. And it's actually one of the things I find myself doing as much as about anything else these days, is helping people to rehabilitate. It's not like a physical therapist, but it's similar, and we're able to help people correct a lot of the recruitment patterns that they've developed from compensation.
All right, so what you're saying is that some people, you know, you obviously have to be aware of your age. But that ability of that, say, that person who's, say, 25 years old, one would think on paper they should be able to just step right up and just start nailing some heavy-duty stuff and just go for it and don't be a wimp kind of thing.
Right.
And they may be thinking that themselves, whereas you may have someone that's 60 years old that's doing double black diamonds and doing a bowl and jumping and, you know, playing a, you know, very ballistic, you know, sports like, you know, like tennis and things like that, or, you know, they've got a rec league in basketball, and that person would actually be, you know, better suited to doing plyometrics and very high intensity exercises. So if someone is, you know, trying to start off, what justification do you have for someone getting a personal trainer? So under what circumstances would you recommend someone getting a personal trainer?
One of the things that we're trying to do at our gym is to give access to information, good information, to everybody. Unfortunately, the finances is a big part, one of the big hurdles that a lot of people have. But we are offering clinics, we're offering orientation workouts, we're offering, we have over 30 aerobics classes with fitness professionals that don't cost anything extra. And then for those people who can't afford the one-on-one training prices, we are setting up small groups of people who are looking to accomplish the same goals. Right now I'm working with some chiropractic offices trying to get people who have low back issues. And if we can get four or five people to come in, it'll only be $20, $25 a session for those folks, as opposed to maybe 100 or 85 or whatever. And then they, but they're all working on this towards the same goals. And so the small groups is a great way to do that. But I think that everybody should at least invest a little bit of money and time talking to a trainer or to a fitness professional, because there's a lot of good information out there, but unfortunately there's a lot of bad information out there, and the people who are putting the bad information out there are probably just trying to make some money off of you. And it, but fitness professionals are go through a lot of training, and we end up using the science in order to develop the programs that are appropriate for each individual.
Okay. And when you're, what, when would you say someone should say, just go independent on their own and you know, hey, listen, client, you're ready to go out and go after that 14er, or you're ready to enter a weightlifting contest, and you know, man, so now you've had your personal training, and so now perhaps you begin doubling as a coach or something along those lines. Where do you see that line?
It's individual. It depends on the person. Really, one of the biggest things that personal trainers do is provide motivation. The people know that if you're sitting there at the gym waiting for them, they're going to show up. They're a lot more likely to show up as opposed to blow off their workout. But with the health coaching, and that's another thing that we do, is we can help them stay accountable to themselves. And by even just emailing or texting their workouts to us whenever they do it, it's a lot less expensive, and anybody can do it. Even people who don't have memberships at the gym, we're able to work with them as health coaches and keep them accountable to themselves, and also to help them progress appropriately. When they send in their workout, you know, if they threw in an extra exercise or so, as long as they write it down and keep us informed. So the answer to your question is, I think that we all need to have each other, help each other with our workouts. I even work out with some people who are training for some powerlifting contest right now. And the point is, they're very strong, they're very athletic, but they also need to be able to have somebody watch their form, make sure that their form isn't collapsing because they're putting themselves under so much resistance.
Okay, so we're getting up to about 10 till here, and I know you have to dash off to teach a class. What class are you teaching, and how would you know, the audience reach you?
Okay, first of all, they can reach us at the gym in Basalt. It's 927-0305. They can go to our Facebook page. We're in the process of getting that updated from when we bought it from Basalt Fitness. And the class I'm teaching tonight is actually a HIIT class. It's a high intensity tactical training is what it stands for. It's super high intensity. That's the type of class it is. We have a variety of spinning classes. We have a number of core conditioning classes, circuit type classes. And we're actually starting a sports conditioning class this next week for people who really want to get ready for being out on the mountain or any kind of athletic activity they might want to involve in.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve. And we're going to, well, I'll say goodbye, and great seeing you in here. And I'll see you in the gym, as I'm there frequently. But anyway, so this is so you can reach Steve at, you know, at the Basalt Fitness, 927-0305. Mm-hmm. And that is in Basalt, and that's behind the Valley Lumber.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks,
you bet.